everybody, how are you today? It is a wonderfully sunny day on Thursday. It is the 21st of November. I hope you're getting ready for Thanksgiving. Hope you're going to be spending some time with your family. No matter where you are in the world, what brings us together is not food, it's not family, it's actually music. Music is probably the universal language aside from, say, I don't know, math, something geeky like that. But we are excited to speak to Benoit Charest about his work on the exceptional short Where Rabbits Come From. If you didn't know, this short will tell you. The dystopian feature is it's Terry Gilliam, it's Pixar, it's everything in one. So before we get into all that fun stuff, Benoit, please tell us, how are things in your world? And thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, that's a very broad question. How are things in my world? Very complex, I would say.
Okay.
And yeah, good, basically. Well, but good in, music world being the music world in our day and time is has its challenges, let's say. So yeah, that's a broad answer.
Fair enough, fair enough. Well, why don't we take a step back? I mean, if it's all the same to you, is it world culture? Is it music? Is it physical health? What's keeping you from being the optimal Benoit and having the living your best life?
Oh, that's another broad question.
Let's do it. We were planning for 20 minutes. Let's do 20 hours. Let's get to know you, because Triplets of
Well,
Belleville is fantastic. So anybody who was involved in that has a free landing pad to do whatever the hell they want on our episode.
oh, that's good. Well, listen, I don't know. Things are, I this was a fun project to work with. It's getting quite rare to do, music with real instruments and have carte blanche on what you want to do, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that was a very fun thing to do. And we recorded in Bologna, and my wife is Italian, so I was there over there while doing it. And we managed to record in Italy, and it was great, and it was a fun project, basically. And yeah.
Well, when somebody says the word dystopian, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Is that difficult to wrap your head around? I like to use the word nebulous a lot because it's
Okay.
fun, but it means hard to describe, hard to put your
Well,
hands on,
I think
so.
well, I would say the line between dystopian and reality is what is getting very blurred.
Fair, very fair.
In my world, in the music world, there's so many perils, in terms of just the good old gigs. Now you've got AI and all that stuff. It's very potent in terms of creating basic generic commercial music, which is diff which is a kind of a bummer for most musicians, because most musicians have to balance between doing commercial work and doing some a non-paying personal projects.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's you have to be able to make your bread and butter and keep your family fed, but there are creative pursuits that could be, even if it's not financially rewarding, it could be professionally satisfying and just get you one step closer to, something else, something great. I think that there's so many artists out there who, with one simple piano stroke or, the right opportunity meeting somebody can, manifest a whole wealth of opportunities. But I guess more to that point. So when somebody approaches you for a short, specifically something like this, what gets you interested? I mean, how do you say yes and no to things? What's your personal mindset?
Oh, well, first of all, it has to do with well, it's a balance, Every gig is a balance of three things: money, artistic interest, and the hang.
What is the hang?
Well, the people you work with.
Well, gotcha.
You know, so that's a it's a balancing act. The more it pays, the more you're less you're, you know, it's a question of just balancing things. You know, sometimes you hit a home run and it's like all of them are good. Sometimes, you know, one or the other is a little less, and you're trying to find a balance. In this case, I wouldn't say the money was a big, you know, a big advantage, but working with Colin, a young producer, very enthusiastic and very communicative of his enthusiasm, and giving me this opportunity to write this little chamber music was good for me.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned chamber music because that's kind of the way I thought it went. It felt as it presented itself that way. But were there any rules that when a director or writer has a vision on something, there's a chance that they don't understand what the music can bring to it. So there might be a disconnect in what your paths forward might be. But were there any discussions to say, well, I feel maybe it should be this? How did you cohabitate and collaborate on?
Oh, well, of course, yeah. Well, that's part of the trade, you know. I think to collaborate is very the fundamental thing. Depending on the director you work with, there's different means of, you know, communicating, and some people will be very detailed. Somebody will probably just mime something, but you know, I think that it's part of the gig to communicate and to accept, you know, of course, the input of the director, which, you know, he's the boss in a certain way, and more than a certain way, but he's the boss and he knows what he wants. So basically, or you can, you know, furnish him with what he needs, or you have to pass on the gig. So in this case, it was interesting because he wanted this very romantic, you know, post, Morricone kind of music. So, you know, those are all things that talk to me, basically.
Well, I'm going to jump to the ending. There's not a question here, but I wanted to say that in the world of entertainment and narratives, it's really tough to be surprised these days. I think that there is such a spoiler system, when it comes to trailers, which tell you the whole story, or studios who base an entire film on future markets, how they can sell to somebody. I was so taken by the end that I didn't see it coming. I was so immersed in this world. I felt like I was lost, like the father and the son rabbit in the film, just trying to get through, figuring out everything as it went, minute by minute. But by the end, it was so beautiful and harmonious. I didn't see it coming. So again, there's not a question there, but what specifically about the film and what about the story and the short said, you know what? I want to do this, and I think I'm going to base, I think it comes from this one idea, or I think we need to start here.
Yeah, well, you know, I think you can't anticipate everything. I mean, especially in animation. Well, you know, it's a such a arduous and difficult, no, long process if you're doing, you know, working with artists and people drawing by hand and all that stuff. So basically, you could have an idea of what it is. You know, you can have an idea of the characters or little animatics or things, but you don't really grasp of, you know, the whole, you know, how it's going to bloom, basically. But I think that's where you come in, you know, everybody comes in, basically. You know, you can take a very, very simple idea and make it fantastic, or you can make it, you know, boring. It all depends on the artistry.
Well, let's go back to what you were saying before about the hang. I think that's a really great way to describe the process because I'm in a similar creative industry. I'm an interior designer that works for an architecture firm, and so we're crafting something that is I would say we're commissioned by our client to say, hey, build me a hotel that's kick-ass, or build me something that's evocative of, French colonialism, whatever it is. And a lot of times, We're all looking for that one install shot, the Instagram shot, or the great finishing touch on a guest room or a bar. But when you're going through the process, it could be hairy, it could be difficult. And I think the people that you find yourselves in the foxhole really make the struggle worth it. And I guess where I'm going with that, I know I'm speaking your language, you probably know what that is. I love the process that you're in because the product is something that you can take home. You can put a CD in your hands, vinyl, whatever it is, MP3. It's a little less satisfying for somebody like myself because if I go build a hotel, the hotel's not just going to open me with open arms. It's like if somebody does, like, have you, I'm sure you maybe have watched The Bear on FX. It's like you may make a steak and have fun with the people in the kitchen, but you don't get to taste it. However, you get to make the music, you craft, you work with the musicians, and you get to take it home at the end. So how does that feel on your end?
Well, that's a big question. Something, and that's a very pertinent question in the world we live in, where, machines and artificial intelligence is making, results. I was seeing actually this guy on TV the other day, like sculpting marble with this new machine that sculpts, 10 times quicker than Michelangelo, and
Wow.
saying, and it really made me think that for me, the result is not the important thing. For me, the process is the important thing. That's where I live. That's why I strive. That's where I create. It's in the making. That's the artistry. That's, where I feel an artist, basically. It's not when I hear my stuff at the end. It's when I'm doing it and when I'm resolving problems, when I'm finding new ideas, when I'm integrating them, and all that whole process, that's being more and more basically taken away from people is the fundamental thing about art for me. The great work of the work of art is the process. It's the making of something. And that's where, that's why I do it, basically. Because of we have tendency, I think, in this world to put too much value on the result and more or less on the process. Like a writer, he likes to go in his room every day and write. And it's the same thing with my music. I like to or be writing here or the piano or playing with people or creating, being in the studio. Once it's over, I listen to it, and it'll take me maybe sometimes years before I go and listen to it and go, "Hey, that wasn't too bad," But it's minor. It's not as important as the whole making of for me.
Well, I think that speaks volumes because if I'm drawing a parallel here that may not align, which would not be parallel, but I think that there's something about that which translates to daily life. You kind of hit a nerve with me. It's something that I feel is very practical, and it's how I'm feeling these days. If you put your hopes in the end, like, okay, once I get my debts paid off, once I go on this grand vacation, once my kids are off in college, whatever it is, you just think to yourself, well, then that's when things are going to happen. That's when I can do this. But if you can actually enjoy the process, and it's derivative of smelling the roses, that analogy, it's like if you're in it and enjoying the moment, you're very present and you can focus. And you have those collaborations that one idea will yield another and turn to into something else. If you look past that, like you said, to the finished product, you're going to be missing the enjoyment of the profession. So I'm so glad you said that because I'm glad that works in fields outside of my own. I sometimes feel that that is maybe unique to what we do. I feel like sometimes we build sandcastles. It's sort of like you may craft something. And you spend all day on it, and your boss says no. Or sometimes it's like you do it and you think it's great, and you do the sleep process, and you go, actually, that's not very good. Or your client may knock it down. Whatever it is, it's like
Yeah.
after a period of time, you'll get there. So.
Well, that's it for me, basically. I mean, for me, there's no other. I mean, I do not anticipate, you know, retiring, or you know, I don't even save money for my old days. It's like I just do what I do, and then we'll see how long it lasts, basically, because that's what I want to be. What I do is what I be. I am. So, you know, for me to, you know, eventually sit in a chair and just, you know, with a drink and some sunglasses, it's not a goal for me.
Well, you know, if your wife's from Italy, I can't see how sitting in a chair with a drink in Italy may not be a future for you. But what is a future for you, Benoit?
Well, you know, the future is the future can be, I don't know, the future is what you build for yourself, I think, in the circumstances. I mean, it is difficult. It's very much, much more difficult than when I was 20 or 30.
You sound young, by the way. Just I'm gonna throw that out there.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I'm 60 actually, so
Oh no. You're triplets of 20. Okay, that's funny. Okay.
exactly. So basically the future for me is, you know, is now. The future is now, and the future is, you know, what I do. I'm finishing a master's degrees in modern composition right now.
Oh, really?
And
What school or
at the
university?
University of Montreal. And I'm
Okay.
just finished. I'm handing it this week, so I'm like right into it, like in the final moments of it.
Round of
And
applause for Benoit, everybody. Benoit Charest.
that's it. Well, for me, you know, that's something, you know, I'm a self-taught guy, but I've studied here and there, you know, university. I played with great musicians. I did a lot of soundtracks. I read a lot of books. I put all things together. I have a very, you know, pragmatic, concrete experience on things, being in studios with orchestras and musicians, et cetera, et cetera. But I always wanted to get a little more formal training, you know, and basically just to, you know, associate the dots in saying, oh yeah, I know this, oh yeah, I know this, et cetera, et cetera. And so I always wanted to do it, and I, you know, my kids are, yeah, older now, so I had time to go and do this, and it was a fantastic, amazing, life-changing experience for me, in the sense that it just basically made me grasp things and more, and understand more, and there's no it's never too late for that. Never too late for that. And you know, for whatever I'll use it. But I think, you know, I'm as long as I'll be living, I'm hoping to, you know, write or do music or something according to that. And doing this has been fantastic experience, and it's opened up my mind, and it's you know, bettered my craft in a substantial way. So basically, I encourage any old people out there, or old people, any older people out there, you know, that you're thinking of doing something, and you know, going back to school, or just, you know, t learning something new, that I totally encourage them, because it's an amazing experience. So
Well,
that's it.
yeah, that's a great testimonial because it's kind of like anybody can do it. You know, you always watch those infomercials back when people have still had cable. It's like, hey, if I can get off the couch and lose 20 pounds, anybody can do it. So here's Benoit giving everybody like a path forward, a testimonial, affidavit.
Lose pounds in your mind.
I'm in shape. Round is a shape. Yeah, let's move on with that.
Exactly.
So Benoit, what let's talk a little bit more about you. What I always like to end the show with a composer or an actor or whoever's 10 favorite things. So in your world, it can literally be anything. Sound of a string section, you know, opening a phone book, whatever it is. What are Benoit Charest's 10 favorite things?
Wow, that's hard. Certain things I couldn't say here on
We're R-rated, you know, that we have no child base here.
playing my guitar, writing music, cooking. I like cooking a lot. Well, that's a hard one because, sometimes it's details, it's very small details, and they don't spring up to mind right now. But let's say that I wouldn't trade my life with anyone else's.
Bold and impacting. Oh man, I'm
I would
having
not.
a tear right now.
I've worked hard at it, and what I'm living is exact. Is I've been lucky to get back in return the effort I've put in things, with a bit of luck. But luck is something that you provoke. You know what I mean?
It's kind of, there, I'm not sure this is a trademark or a bona fide phrase, but it sounds similar to something that I learned from an old roommate in college. He goes, "If you want to win the lottery, you got to play it. They're not just going to call your name out of the phone book." So
Yeah.
I think that
Exactly. So that's why I'm not playing lottery. Because I don't
but there's
want
got to be like a, you know, a language correlation that aligns with what you're
win. I
saying.
know, but I'm just kidding. But that's why I'm not playing. A lot of people ask me, when you go to the convenience store, you want to buy this ticket for this blah blah blah. The logos, the slogans is can it can change your life, but I don't want to change my life actually. I don't. That's so basically, yeah. Being with my wife, went to New York this weekend, was wonderful. Went to visit some friends, musicians, and basically, just living my life basically is good enough for me.
Excellent. So everybody who hasn't seen Where Rabbits Come From, basically Benoit has come out the other end of the narrative. Not going to spoil it for you. He's come out to the other end. He's at the tree. He's with his wife. He's in the sunshine. And we wish him the very, very best. Bonne chance. And Benoit, thank you for your time. This has been a lot of fun.
Okay, great. Thanks to you.
Until that time, we will catch you next time.
Yeah,
Thanks,
that's all
everybody.
folks.